Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, late lineup change on Sports Map Radio. Tony D off. John Stash, hour in for him. Ron Culver is in. Good to have you with us. Hour number two on this Monday morning, Sports Map Radio. Later this hour, Josh Edwards talks about the NFL draft for CBSSports.com. A couple thoughts about the draft coverage, and these are thoughts that are I have every year. Nothing changes from year to year. I've been watching these drafts for a long time, but I'm always reminded of them. One is the interviews with the players, which admittedly, in fairness to the people who are doing these interviews, it's not always an easy gig. Some of these guys, you know, some are more media savvy than others, and some of these guys may get better as they play in the NFL, but a lot of them are, you know, they're not all that comfortable answering questions. And that's why, you know, if you're going to be the ones asking the questions, I think you got to come up with some. You're like, this is your assignment. You know you're going to be doing this. You know you're going to be, you know who you're going to be talking to, because you know who's going to get drafted and who's there. Can you come up with something a little? I mean, how many times do we have to see? Tell us your emotions when you heard your name called. I mean, thank the Lord. Can't wait to get to work and dream come true and all that. And these interviews give you nothing. You know, find out a little something about a guy and maybe ask him about that. I mean, there's got to be something better than tell us your emotions when you heard your name. So I get a little tired of that. And the other thing, and again, in fairness to these networks, I don't know. I don't have an answer to replace this. But when they draft the offensive linemen and they show the offensive linemen highlights, there's no such thing. Any other position you want to find, obviously the skill positions, you want to find defensive players, you can find interceptions, you can find sacks, you can find open field tackles. There's no such thing as an offensive lineman highlight. So they show these guys blocking. Okay, on this play, Billy Jones prevented a sack. I mean, he blocked his guy. Okay, great. We can do without the offensive line helmet. Highlights. More draft talk straight ahead. Stay with us.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Tony off this morning. I'm John Stashower. Ron is in. So Ron, I was, you know, during the breaks, listening to your promos from your Sports Map Radio there, and I heard you and Tony talking about like the early days or the memories of watching NFL drafts before.
Yep.
Now, hesitant to say this, I hate to like kind of date myself and talk about how friggin' old I am.
How it was back in the day?
It wasn't the Sammy Baugh draft, but the first draft, Troy Aikman was the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Now, I was 6 years old. I was just a Cub reporter, you know. But I was there, and I remember it was at the Marriott Marquis Hotel. It was just like in this ballroom, like if you would have a wedding, you know, in a place like that. And I think it was still on when they had the draft on like a Tuesday, and they would just do everything in one day, like 12 rounds. But what I remember is I had my cassette tape recorder, you know, where you push like record
and
play. And I held it like right in Troy Aikman's face. Like I was like... Those days are gone. And so that was the first draft I ever went to. And then they used to have it at the place called the Theater next to Madison Square Garden, where they would have like not the big concerts. You know, the Rolling Stones didn't do the Theater, but like I went to see Van Morrison was at the Theater, you know, that kind of those kind of acts. And I forget who was the first pick that year, but that was when I first saw the fans painting their faces and lined up around the block.
Yeah.
And then when I went to Radio City, it was like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. It's like the Ziegfeld Follies. I mean, this is ridiculous.
And now it's literally turned into an award
show. And now it's gone
to
another place because they take it on the road.
Yeah.
And go to these cities now. It is
unbelievable. It's literally an award show now. I mean, that's basically
award shows have. I mean, it's beyond award shows. I think. I mean, it's unbelievable. And
yeah, the first round. That's why I said, you know, they had the red carpet event. I mean, you know, they've had to scale it back the last 2 years. Well, last year they didn't do anything, but this year they
which
scaled
I loved.
Back.
I loved last year.
They just get to the picks and be done with it.
Belichick's dog, and yeah, that's all I need. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, and now we're still seeing that. I think is a trend that's growing because now teams are like, well, we gotta. You know, last year they had to kind of dress up their war room, and they kind of carried that tradition over to this year. Even before last year, the war rooms were just like, that's just a conference room. There's no frills about it. It was just guys sitting in the room.
I think the Cowboys were the first time they'd let it, you know, the first team to let cameras in just to see the war room. Now we got every war room.
Yeah. Well, now
I love the shot. I think it was, I can't remember the team. It might have been the 49ers. They had, there's Lynch and Shanahan. And then there's like the IT nerd. It's just like working on the computers to make sure
they're on.
Yeah.
Let's bring that up because the Rams this year had the Rams house. They rented a house in Malibu.
Is that right?
For their
is that an MTV reality show?
It felt like it. And the funny thing was, there was a cool side to it and a funny thing because the cool side was that one lucky Rams fan got to bring himself and three guests. And they got to stay in the house all weekend long while the Rams are drafting and doing their job and doing their due diligence on creating a team. And they must have all really enjoyed that first round because that first round had to be a party since the Rams didn't have a pick. it just must have been, I'm thinking champagne and caviar and a cheese spread and all that fun stuff. I mean, but this house is ridiculous. It has a pool. It has like...
What's the point of that?
Infinity edge pool because it overlooks the ocean.
What?
So it looks like the pool just kind of cascades out into the water. And their war room area was...
Stan Kroenke's got some bucks, so I guess
yeah,
he could...
Yeah, but their war room area was outside. It was like this huge covered patio with gigantic TVs, and that's where they were holding it. I have to imagine that once they got down to really having to draft on day two, that area was roped off from whoever the guests were.
So then they had fans making the picks. Did you see the guy who made the pick and with his girlfriend, and then he proposed?
Then
to
he
her?
Proposed,
and she said yes.
Of course. How can you say no?
Well, that would be news if you said something like
you say no
marry
to a
you.
Ring pop engagement ring.
Screw it on. Why would I marry you? So I mentioned the 49ers. I think they had their war room. I mean. It's easy to rip some of these teams' decisions, and I have a lot of doubts about what the 49ers did to give up two first-round draft picks. Not one. The Bears gave up one first-round pick. The 49ers gave up two. That's a lot. To take a quarterback in Trey Lance, who might be really good. I mean, there's a lot of things to like about him, but he went to North Dakota State. We certainly didn't see him play big-time football. He didn't play last year. So basically had one really good year for North Dakota State, and they gave up two first-round picks. But like we said last hour, you got to wait and see. You know, I mean, some of these guys will be really good, and some of them won't, and we don't really know. Nobody really knows. But doing a sports talk show, you're going to give your opinion. So I think the 49ers overpaid. I understand the uncertainty with Jimmy Garoppolo. Three of the last 4 years, Garoppolo has missed 15 out of 48 games, but his one loss win loss record career wise, including some games with New England, is 24-8. And I was at the Super Bowl in Miami a couple years ago. I mean, he outplayed Patrick Mahomes for three quarters. He was going to be the Super Bowl MVP. And then Mahomes outplayed him in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, we shall see how this is all going to play out. And what's really going to be interesting is just in 2021, because Lance is the guy of all those five quarterbacks who is the least ready to step right into the NFL. When you play 1 year at North Dakota State, and that was 2 years ago, you're a guy who really would behoove you to hold the clipboard for a year, like Mahomes did for 1 year. And so I think they're going ahead. As of now, their plan is to keep Garoppolo And look, he's getting a lot of money. And if he wants to find another team in 2022, it'd behoove him to play well. And it actually helps the 49ers if he plays well. And then if they want to trade him, they get more for him. But do you see this playing out? Is this going to play out the way the Niners are hoping, or is this going to be a problem for them?
I don't know what to think of what the Niners are doing. Because, yeah, like you said, 24-8. You know, now Jimmy G was hurt a little bit last year. And, you know, maybe he's starting to show that he's injury prone. Maybe that's, you know, prompted the Niners' decision to do this. But it doesn't make any sense to me that you would go after, you know, you would draft a quarterback. Now you've drafted a quarterback at 3.
You got to play him.
You got to play him.
You got to. Oh, absolutely. No, you know, 20, maybe not in 21, but 2022, well, week one, Trey Lance is your starting quarterback. Well, you gave up 2 first-round draft picks to get him.
Why wouldn't you play him, though? That's the thing. It's like if you're drafting him at 3, that's normally, hey, this is the guy who we think can start and be the leader of our team and take us to that next level. And I don't know what the next level is. Jimmy G is 1 year removed from taking his team to the Super Bowl.
Which they almost won. And, you know, there's the argument to be made that the best way to learn how to play quarterback in the NFL is to play quarterback in the NFL, not to sit on the sideline with a clipboard and a headset, but to get out there. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to take your lumps. A lot of guys have done it. Peyton Manning struggled as a rookie. A lot of guys have struggled, but they learn from that experience. So if you know Trey Lance is going to be your week one 2022 starting quarterback, why not put him out there in 21 and let him learn from his mistakes? What do you need Jimmy Garoppolo for?
Now, someone like, say, Justin Fields, who was chosen at 10 or 11?
11, yeah.
I could see him sitting for a little bit.
You think? I think he's going to play.
Well, I'm definitely going to say he's going to play, but I can see him not starting game one.
Yeah, week one. I mean, look, the Texans didn't play Watson week one.
Mahomes didn't play for almost an entire year.
The whole year, yeah. Well, Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years in Green Bay.
Exactly.
Phillip Rivers sat a year behind Drew Brees, but that used to be the prevailing thing. You know, you got to let these guys kind of sit and watch and learn, but that's kind of. Most of these guys are more ready, but Lance might not be ready, so we'll see how it plays out. The Niners, I'm dubious as to why they gave up so much. Come in there, they trade for Garoppolo. Everybody says that's a great trade. They give him a ton of money. They gave him $74 million guaranteed. Yeah, he's been hurt. He's made some bad throws at times, but they won when he's been healthy, and then they just throw it all out and give up a fortune to get a new guy. We'll see how it plays out. I have questions about what the Jets did. I mean, we'll see. You said before, Zach Wilson is a question mark. We don't know for sure if this guy's going to be great. I thought maybe with the Jets having so many holes, so many needs, trade down off the second pick. You know, teams would have been eager to give up a lot to get that pick. Keep Darnold. Get weapons, help him out, new coach, all that. They decided not to do that. Now, remember, the Jets, Joe Douglas, this front office did not draft Darnold, so I guess they wanted to start out with their own guy. If you're a general manager, you can't be a wimp. You got to be willing to admit mistakes. The 49ers may have done that. The Bears admitted that with Trubisky. You got to be willing, and then you have courage of convictions. And so I give these teams credit for pulling the plug, but I think it's certainly in the case of the 49ers, they may have gone a little bit.
Yeah, and I see Sam Darnold having almost a resurgence.
We'll see.
With the Carolina Panthers.
Could happen. All right, we'll take a break. More NFL talk straight ahead. John Stashower, Ron Culver, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, John Stashower in this morning for Tony D. And I can't ever remember a year. We've been talking a little before about, you know, NFL draft memories. The NFL draft's a big deal now, obviously, and there's so much build up to it. But I can't remember a year where there was a story that, you know, superseded the NFL draft. I mean, the idea that Aaron Rodgers might get traded is a month. This is the MVP of the league. This is a first ballot Hall of Famer. They played for the NFC Championship last year. Now you're telling me they're going to get traded? It's real. When I, you know, it's easy to kind of hear these stories. All right, that'll be a one-day story. That'll go away. That's kind of the way I felt about Russell Wilson. It's looking like that's the case. But this seems like it has more legs. You know, Rodgers is older than Wilson. He's made a lot of money. Maybe he would just retire rather than play in Green Bay. I'm not convinced of that. We know the Packers do not want to trade Aaron Rodgers. Here's their coach, Matt LaFleur.
I can't fathom not being in Green Bay. So that's where my mind's at. I just, you know, I don't only love the player, but I love the person. I love working with him on a daily basis. I think we all do, from the players in that locker room to the coaching staff. And I don't even want to let my mind go there.
So it appears that Rodgers has a good relationship with LaFleur. I don't think he's ever said anything disparaging about LaFleur. But you read stories out of Green Bay, there is a problem between Rodgers and the general manager, who, as we said before, not quite sure how to pronounce his name. It's Gutekunst, something like that. Here he is.
Aaron hasn't said anything like that to me, and certainly hasn't said anything publicly. So I think it's a little unfair to kind of, you know, put that on him. But, you certainly don't like to hear those things, but at the same time, it's kind of part of the gig in the National Football League. So, nothing's been communicated directly to me.
So, I don't know. They have been having these discussions. Apparently, the GM, as well as LaFleur and the team president, Mark Murphy, have all made pilgrimages out to Los Angeles, where Aaron Rodgers is hanging out these days, although he was at the Derby the other day. So they're talking, and yet you get this story leaked to Adam Schefter that he wants out. You know, it's been an interesting off season for Rodgers. First of all, he got engaged. You know, he was with, who was the actress he was with, Ron, the first time around? I can't remember her name.
Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn. Thank you. So there was Olivia Munn, and then was, of course, Danica Patrick for a long time, and then that didn't turn out. And now, you're going to have to help me again. Who's the one that he's, who's the fiance?
Shailene Woodley.
Very good.
Yeah.
I know she is. I just didn't remember her name. She was in, did you see the movie with George Clooney where he's in Hawaii?
Yes, Descendants.
Yeah. Good. I like that flick. I thought Clooney was good in that. His wife is in a coma, and then he finds out that she was unfaithful, and so she played the oldest daughter. And then she was also in that HBO show, Big Little Lies. You see that? Kind of a chick's thing.
No.
Yeah, but I did see it. Anyway, so he's engaged. So, you know, kudos to them. So he's got that going for him, which is nice. And he's got this Jeopardy gig, which, I don't know, I mean, Is there a skill to hosting Jeopardy? I know Alex was great. I get, you know, Alex was a legend. But when you think about it, Ron, couldn't we all do that? Can we just read the answers and then say whether the guy is right or wrong? And is there a real skill to hosting Jeopardy, you think?
Yeah, but I think the problem is that you don't want to be the guy that follows Alex.
Right.
You want to be the guy after the guy.
It's like replacing, you know, John Wooden.
Yeah, you don't want to be the rebound. There's no skill involved at all. You just got to be able to pronounce it correctly. But Alex delivered in such a way that made you feel like he was the most intelligent person on the planet.
No question. And there were times when Alex would make the contestant feel like he was the stupidest person.
Of course.
No question about that. Like, really? Are you kidding me? You didn't know that in, you know, world history, whatever. So I don't know. It's been an interesting offseason for Rodgers, and he had kind of hinted at this. What did he say? Like the it's mysterious. It's a mysterious answer to whether I'm going to be with the Packers next year. I don't know. But then we get this story on Thursday dropped from Schefter. He's disgruntled, wants a trade, and there's a lot of meat to this story. This is not, you know, like something. This is real. And it's going to be fascinating to see. Now, this would be a story that would dominate the news for weeks. But then we had the draft. So that kind of, we put it on pause. But now the draft is over. And so we'll wait and see about Rodgers. Where's the dance partner that the Packers would have? First of all, You got this big contract, so you got to fit in a salary cap and all that. You got teams, like, give me a team. We just had five teams draft a quarterback in the first half of the first round. So are they going to be looking for Aaron Rodgers? I mean, everyone would love to have an Aaron Rodgers. Apparently the 49ers called before the draft, but now they got their quarterback. The teams I've heard about are the Broncos and the Raiders. And if you're those teams, I'm sure they'd love to get Aaron Rodgers, but why does Aaron Rodgers want to go there? Why is that a better situation? Whole thing's kind of crazy. I mean, Peyton Manning went to Denver, but did you see Aaron Rodgers playing for the Denver Broncos next year?
No, and I don't know what the appeal is with Denver. I get, you know, why he'd want to go to San Francisco. I even understand why he was.
Well, he grew up not that far.
Yeah, and I would understand why someone would want to go to the Raiders. You know, Vegas is a hot market. It's an up-and-coming team. You got, you know, John Gruden.
Yeah, are they an up-and-coming team?
I don't know.
They have nowhere to go but up.
I mean, I hope not. You know, Chargers fan, so I'm not a big fan. I love the Raiders every time during the draft season.
But you don't need a quarterback. You got one.
No, we're good. I don't need anybody.
Yeah, so.
I think there are far better situations that he could go to.
Really? Like where?
Aaron Rodgers? Well, no, I'm not. I'm saying if Green Bay isn't the ultimate choice, I'm saying there's better situations than Denver or Raiders.
Oh, wow.
You know, maybe they do a swap. Maybe he goes and checks out how Seattle is, and you know, sends Russell Wilson to Green Bay.
For Wilson,
yeah.
Now you talk about a blockbuster trade. Well, that would be something. I mean, we had Goff for Stafford. That was pretty weird. That starting quarterbacks, but how about Hall of Fame quarterbacks?
Yeah,
Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. That would be something.
Yeah, I'll just ship those two and swap them out and see what happens.
That's like a George Costanza trade. It's like right. I don't know. I'm skeptical I think the Packers are being smart. I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, with Houston going through this, when we talked about Deshaun Watson before all the other Deshaun Watson stuff started, it's like you don't want an unhappy quarterback because that doesn't help your team.
Well, the truth of the matter is, I mean, none of these guys have to do anything. They're under contract. I mean, you could just stay pat.
But Rodgers is in a position where he's played long enough, where maybe he does decide that I've had enough.
He probably has some clout. But listen, if he doesn't want to play, if he chooses not to play, or he chooses to retire, the Packers drafted Jordan Love. They anticipated this.
I guess.
You know, I'm looking at it with the Texans. I mean, you know, even though I can't remember the
Davis Mills. No.
Nick Cassero,
right?
The GM. You know, even though he has came out and the new head coach, whose name is escaped my mind too. Both of them have came out and said, "Hey, you know, Deshaun Watson's our quarterback. He will play for us. We're looking forward to working with him." The very first pick the Texans had, it wasn't until the third round too. But the very first pick that they take, they go and get Davis Mills.
He's your guy, Davis Mills.
So I mean, they're planning ahead without Deshaun Watson as well.
Well, we said before, I'm perplexed by the Jordan Love draft a year ago. We got a guest coming up. I'll ask him what he thought about it because, I mean, Love was projected as a first-round pick, sure, but not to the Packers. And they traded up to get him, and they already had the MVP of the league playing in the league. The guy was under contract through 2023. Now, maybe they were just being kind of cute that, hey, it worked for us back in, 2005, where we drafted Aaron Rodgers, even though we had Brett Favre. By the way, this is interesting. Brett Favre played 16 years in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers has been on the team 16 years.
Yep.
And Bart Starr played 16 years.
Yep, magic number.
Exactly. So no one's gone to that 17th year. Going to be interesting. All of a sudden, you know, we had all these NFL stories that, you know, the NFL loves these offseason stories to keep them in the news. And now you've got the MVP of the league. One of the two or three biggest stars in the league demanding a trade. Well, that's Josh Edwards, what he thinks. He covers the NFL draft. Lots to get to with him. And we'll talk to him coming up. I'm John Stashower, Sports Map Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
John Stashower in this morning for Tony D. Josh Edwards writes about the NFL draft for CBSSports.com. He's on Twitter at EdwardsCBS, and he joins us now on Sports Map Radio. So a lot to get to, Josh, obviously, for this year's draft. I want to ask you first about a draft pick made a year ago, because it's very much in the news now. What did you think a year ago when the Packers made that move to trade up and get Jordan Love? Obviously, it may not be the only reason Aaron Rodgers wants to be traded, but it's clearly one of the reasons. What do you think of it then? What do you think of it now?
Well, from a talent perspective, I was fine with where they took him. Obviously, that's been a part of their process in the past with, replacing some of these quarterbacks later in their career with rookie quarterbacks that maybe can take a couple of years to develop. The issue with that is you typically look for the blessing of the incumbent quarterback because it can create this toxic work environment, which apparently we're now seeing in Green Bay. I think the way that he reacted last year did not exactly surprise anyone that we are now down this path. So I was fine with the talent. I was fine with the process. But when you're looking at today's quarterbacks, these guys are playing until they're about 40 years old. So you have to be careful when you bring those type of bridge quarterbacks in.
Yeah, they're playing at a older age, and the rookies are playing right away. I mean, we remember the days when it was more, like Rodgers, to hold the clipboard for 3 years like he did. Maybe not three, but at least one or two. Mahomes did for one, but these guys are playing right away. So, that begs the question, why would you draft Jordan Love if he wasn't going to be able to play for a while?
Yeah, I think that's fair. There are certainly expectations with rookie quarterbacks. We saw Patrick Mahomes. He was able to sit for a year. I think that really benefited in his, overall growth. And that was probably Green Bay's hope for Jordan Love as well. I just don't think they foresaw Aaron Rodgers playing at an MVP caliber level in 2020, which is an entirely different argument. I mean, I don't know how you didn't see that coming or thought that he might regress. That was fairly obvious that he was still going to be playing at a high level. So, they've made their bed, and now they've got to sleep in it.
All right, so let's talk about these quarterbacks, Josh. And obviously, forget Trevor Lawrence. We know him, and everyone was going to take him number one. But the Jets with Wilson, the decision to cut ties with Darnold and go with Wilson, obviously the real gamble by the 49ers considering what they gave up. The Bears gave up a first-round pick to get Fields. The Patriots stood pat and got Mac Jones. What's your take on those four quarterbacks, where they went, when they went, and your thoughts on how good they might be?
Well, I think Trey Lance and Mac Jones ended up in ideal situations. You never want to underestimate Bill Belichick and what he's capable of, so that's obviously a good landing spot for Mac Jones, although I'm sure he was a little disappointed that he did number three overall. As it relates to Trey Lance, perfect fit with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan has lost Super Bowls with Matt Ryan and Jimmy Garoppolo, so it made sense that he would want to go in a bit of a different direction and have a more mobile quarterback. So the fact that he's going to be able to do this read option, get the ball out quickly, all this kind of stuff with Trey Lance, I think is going to be really interesting. And then they drafted Trey Sermon later. So, they're getting some of these high caliber players that are going to be able to run their scheme. And then as it relates to Justin Fields, I love the value where Chicago, was able to move up and get him. They didn't have to give up a ransom like San Francisco did to get number three, but they still got a potential franchise quarterback. Now, the issue, as it is with a lot of these quarterbacks, is the situation. Did he land in a good enough situation that's going to enable him to be successful? Because like we saw with Sam Darnold, that's not always the case. So that's my biggest concern with Justin Fields. I think he's a really good player. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to transcend what's around him, but now that's what we're tasked with finding out.
Do you expect to see all these guys on the field in 2021? I mean, I think Wilson certainly, but Garoppolo is still in San Francisco. Cam Newton is still in New England. So how do you think that's going to play out?
Yeah, I would say that Trey Lance is maybe the least likely, just because they have a competent quarterback that could start. With that being said, I still expect him to start probably a sizable amount of the games at some point for him, because it sounded like San Francisco was willing to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo this weekend. And it's one of those cases where Garoppolo has not been able to stay healthy. I mean, that's what led to the decision to bring in another quarterback. So I expect him to be on the field at some point. Mac Jones, you kind of expect him to be on the field week one even. Justin Fields, that one's going to be a little interesting because they already named Andy Dalton QB1, which I don't think anybody believes it, but I could certainly understand a thought process where we have a veteran quarterback that's won some games in the NFL. Let's not do wrong by Justin Fields long term by trying to get some short term gain and some short term excitement. And then, like you said, Zach Wilson, he's got to start. That's the only option on that roster right now.
And they did, you know, they were criticized for not helping Darnold out. And what did the Jets do? Elijah Moore, Vera Tucker, the two Elijahs. Elijah on the offensive line, an Elijah to wide out. I mean, and it looked like a lot of these teams take the quarterback and then, okay, now we got to help the quarterback. Is that something new in the NFL? I mean, it would seem to make some sense. You draft the quarterback, you got to help the quarterback out.
Well, it shouldn't be new. I mean, like you kind of intimated there, it should be something that's pretty, you know, common knowledge. It should be something that every team strives to do, but that hasn't always been the case. So to see what Joe Douglas did this weekend was really impressive. You know, they added two Elijahs, like you said. They also added two Michael Carters,
yeah, right.
But one of them plays defense.
They tackled one guy tackled the other one in the ACC. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, yeah. So they did add some of this offensive talent around Zach Wilson. Now to the point where you've got Mekhi Becton playing left tackle, you've got Elijah Vera Tucker playing left guard. That should be one of the better young left sides of the offensive line in the NFL. And then you've got Corey Davis to go with Denzel Mims and Elijah Moore. And now you've got Michael Carter in the backfield with LaMichael Perine. I mean, you're starting to see these pieces coming together. I don't think they're quite there yet. Probably need a few more pieces along the offensive line. You know, maybe a better feature running back. But you can see where it's starting to come together. You can see the vision of what they're trying to accomplish on that side of the ball.
Yeah, and their defense needs work, but their coach is a defensive guy. So, so the Jets seem to be on the road, up nowhere to go but up, but they're on the road. What about the Giants, Josh? Because Dave Gettleman had never traded back, and then he did it twice, and I got a lot of high marks for the way he played this thing out. And you got to give Gettleman credit because he may not be the general manager for that long, and yet he kind of looked more towards the future with stockpiling draft picks for next year, which might be a better draft, where you can see all guys having played in college football. What do you think about what the Giants did?
Yeah, his willingness to acquire future picks kind of leads me to believe that maybe he has some more future assurances than what the public would want to believe. To trade down, I love the compensation that they were able to get in return. Now taking Kadarius Toney, I don't know if I love the fit and the value of where they took him. I think there were probably better options with that selection. Aziz Ojulari, if the health checks out, that's a fantastic pick in the second round. I mean, that's a home run to get him at number 50 overall. Aaron Robinson was one of my top seven cornerbacks in the class, a guy with lots of length. He's got some versatility where he played inside. He could probably play outside if you asked him to. Ellerson Smith is a guy that, you know, it's kind of a situational edge rusher. There's a lot of people that liked him in the league. Gary Brightwell, I liked him in spades as a running back from Arizona. And then Rodarius Williams, the cornerback from Oklahoma State, to get him in the sixth round as well, I thought was good value. So really solidly executed draft by Dave Gettleman. I wasn't the biggest fan of the Toney pick, but I think he got really good value as the weekend progressed.
John Stashire with Josh Edwards from CBSSports.com. We're talking NFL draft here on Sports Map Radio. Give me a pick that was made at some point that really opened your eyes, that was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Well, I wasn't expecting the Browns to take Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in the second round, more so because I didn't think he would be available. So it was very interesting to see them kind of get aggressive and move up and get him, because that team has invested so much on the defensive side of the ball this year. The 2020 offseason was spent upgrading the offense, and we saw that come to life on the field that season. But now to see the emphasis on the defense, where you brought in John Johnson, you brought in Troy Hill, brought in Pat McKinley and Jadeveon Clowney and Greg Newsome and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, to go with Grant Delpit coming back and Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett. Like, they've got some pieces on that side of the ball where it may no longer be a fluke if they're in contention for the AFC.
I mean, was there a – you mentioned, Tony, as far as value, I mean, that's how you have to kind of know how to play this game. I mean, were there examples of guys taken, you know, well before they need – especially early on, more than they needed to be, where they could have maybe still been taken later on?
Peyton Turner in the first round was a little higher than I expected. I do like the player. I do like the motor that he shows on the field. I like the flashes of potential that I've seen, the length that he has at the position. And I think he's ended up in a good situation with New Orleans. I just thought, you know, maybe they could have traded back a little bit and still got the player that they had wanted with accumulating some additional draft capital as well. So that would be one off the top of my head that was a little bit surprising, but not understandable either, if that makes sense. So there was a lot over the course of the weekend, but off the top of my head, that's probably one that sticks out.
All right, you want to weigh in on this Aaron Rodgers thing? What's your best guess on do we see Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? Do we see him in Las Vegas? Do we see him just hosting Jeopardy? What do you think?
I wish I had a better feel on this, because I could see it going in any number of directions. I think probably the way that the wind is blowing, he's probably not going to be the starting quarterback in Green Bay next year. I don't know what that means for his future. I don't know if it's a Carson Palmer situation where he's perfectly fine walking away from the walking away from the game right now, and, you know, hosting Jeopardy, like you said, until he's willing to be granted his demands by Green Bay and traded to another team, like I said with Carson Palmer. I could see him being traded to Miami because they still have a lot of draft capital. You know, maybe that's a situation where Brian Flores looks at it as a significant upgrade and he says, okay, like we've built a roster that is capable of competing right now. Aaron Rodgers might be the missing piece. Maybe this is a guy that we need to go and get.
That's going to be fascinating. I mean, will it be hard to trade him? I mean, he's got the big salary. I mean, the teams have just made their – I mean, teams are after the draft. They've had free agency. They've had the draft. Now they're kind of set with how they're going to go, and now they're going to go get Aaron Rodgers. I mean, is it going to be a hard thing for the Packers to pull off if they do have to trade him?
Well, if there's a will, there's a way. We've seen that this offseason with Jared Goff trade, with the Carson Wentz trade. So I don't think the financial situation is going to be too much of an implication. The timing of the situation is less than ideal, obviously, because it would have been nice if, you know, these two parties had kind of come to this resolution weeks before the draft, so maybe they could have worked something out in time to where Green Bay was able to get, you know, a couple first-round picks in this draft, or a first in this year and a first next year and beyond. But that wasn't the case. I mean, it was kind of sprung on everybody, at least publicly, the day of the draft, and at that point it's just too quick for that kind of a deal to come together.
Josh, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Josh Edwards, CBSSports.com. All right, we'll take a final timeout, wrap things up on this Monday morning. Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Tony's off. I'm John Stashower filling in. I'll be in tomorrow morning as well. We end the show, appropriately enough, with what else? We're just talking about the NFL draft, so let's talk about Mr. Irrelevant. 259th and final pick of the 2021 draft. Tampa Bay Buccaneers select University of Houston linebacker Grant Stewart. This guy was a good player in college, all-conference player, and good dude off the field, doing a lot of charity work. Making some news, though, by the interview that he did on Saturday night with ESPN. This is Grant Stewart. My mom is a drug addict. She used to work in the sex industry. Well, I'm assuming that means maybe she was the world's oldest profession, right? My dad was in prison a good portion of our young life. Even when he wasn't in prison, he was very absent when we were growing up. That results in both parents being absent the majority of the time. It was bouncing from home to home. Sometimes we didn't know if there was going to be food on the table. We didn't know if the lights were going to be on. We didn't know what school we were going to go to. And this guy's an amazing story. And apparently the parents are doing well. The mom was with him. She says, my mom, she pops in every now and again. My dad is doing much better. He definitely has improved. Guy, you gotta root for Grant Stewart. Now, Mr. Irrelevant, very more often than not, seventh round draft picks usually don't make the team, and he may not. But that's a heck of a story. So, you're Mr. Irrelevant, Grant Stewart. You're doing a lot of good things. Burton does a lot of things for charity. That's a great story. Back tomorrow morning. Hope you can join us. Sports Map Radio.